Hello and welcome to Dirty Lazy Girl, a podcast that offers realistic girlfriend support and problem solving for imperfect people like me. I'm Stephanie Laska, author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto. I lost 140 pounds by breaking all the rules and becoming a weight loss rebel.
And I'm Tamara Snezik, a professor of sociology, Stephanie's co-host, and her Dirty Lazy Girl partner in crime. Every week, we'll tackle a potential obstacle in your way with unconventional, dirty, or lazy problem-solving strategies. Let's get you started. It's season three of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast, and today's obstacle is how to change your eating habits, part two.
That's right. Today is part two of the 21 strategy workshop that we're doing about eating habit changes. And we learned these strategies from the happiest guru herself, author Gretchen Rubin. So we'll continue to apply her habit changing strategies from her book, Better Than Before, specifically to the area of eating habits.
In part one, we covered the first 10 strategies of habit change. And in this podcast, part two, we're going to talk about the next 10, actually 11, the final 11 strategies. And this is going to be so helpful. I can't wait, but let's take a quick break first.
Well, listeners, there's a reason why I was successful in losing 140 pounds is I learned to create some good habits. Because let's just face it, willpower only gets you so far. You have to have some great habits to get you through those tough moments, right? So I find it to be most helpful when I created habits of creating low carb, high fat recipes like I share in the Dirty Lazy Keto No Time to Cook cookbook. And these are all recipes that you can make in 30 minutes or less. So super easy to create a new habit when it's so easy and fast to do. So check out this book. It's at Costco, Target, Sam's Club, Barnes & Noble, online, your local bookstore, and you can always order it on Amazon. It's the Dirty Lazy Keto No Time to Cook cookbook.
Terrific. So we're going to briefly explain what the strategy means and then share an example of how it helped us, or maybe not. Maybe it was a total bomb. We'll let you know. And we're going to do our best to interpret these from Gretchen. So it's our interpretation of her work. And we'd love your help if you want to come on our podcast, Gretchen. So, hey, Gretchen, hope you're listening.
All right, so let's briefly explain what the strategy means, and then we'll share an example of how it is or maybe not helping us in terms of changing an eating habit. So what's number 11?
That is the strategy of convenience. So if you make something convenient, like you take the obstacles, then you're gonna develop the habit more easily. But if it's hard for you to get the habit done, then it's doesn't work. Let me just give you an example. The example for me is with vegetables. If they're not convenient, like, then I won't eat them. If I have to go and think, oh, what do I want? How do I prepare it? I have to, you know, peel the cucumbers and cut them up, and it's totally inconvenient, then I won't do it. So what I found is I buy the pre-made, pre-cut up veggies, and I eat them actually when they're convenient.
Yeah, that's totally in a nutshell, right? It's like, mm-hmm. If you have a food that's convenient and it's right in front of you and you know, you don't have to do any work, then mm-hmm. Go for it. Yeah. And I have found that to be very true as well in terms of buying those pre-washed, pre-cut, even frozen vegetables that are ready to go and you put them right in the microwave. And specifically, I'm thinking about the frozen rice cauliflower packets from Costco. Oh my gosh, total game changer. And mm-hmm. I also get the broccoli, the green beans, the Brussels sprouts, and it changes my life. You literally like stab it with a fork, throw it in the microwave, and 5 minutes later, you're eating something healthy, right?
Yeah.
So simple.
Yes, easy. And this is really helps me when I'm traveling because it's not convenient to have the healthy snack. So I make it convenient. That's why you and I talk about filling our purses and our suitcases full of our healthy snacks. Because otherwise, you know, to have to find a store to get this stuff, it's just, yeah.
Not going to happen.
No. And the number 12 is the exact opposite of that strategy, is to make it inconvenient, those things that you don't want or that are getting in the way of your habit. So, you know, if the kids, for me, it's the kids' lunch snacks. They're so tempting. You know, there's like ho-hos and whatever, you know, goldfish and all that. So I try to put that in a place off to the side where I'm not looking at it all the time, like not front and center in the cabinets I use, and that makes it inconvenient for me to find and get those things.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And some of my examples I'm thinking of, it's not like it's a ho-ho or something that's like for me that I don't want to eat at all. But sometimes like there's dirty, lazy keto foods like a low carb protein bar, which I still have and incorporate into my, you know, daily foods that I eat, but I don't want to eat those all the time. Yeah. So when I was doing a lot of traveling for work, I would keep those in the trunk of my car. And the reason why is I knew they were there. I could definitely have it if I wanted it, but it made me think twice that it was inconvenient where I'd have to pull over, you know, get out of my car, open the trunk and then get one out. Just that little pause helped me. That inconvenience made me not, you know, eat it as often. And that was my strategy when I was trying to change that eating habit. And yeah, eventually I just stopped bringing them with me altogether, which made it even more inconvenient and totally worked.
Yeah, that's a great strategy. And you can apply that to almost anything.
Yeah.
No.
And can I just tell you, this is kind of embarrassing just to set the podcast, the tone correctly. Like if there's something in my car and I'm having trouble, like not wanting to eat it, I'll literally just throw it in the backseat or throw it in the trunk or throw it anywhere away from myself.
I've thrown food away.
Yeah.
In the garbage because I know if it's sitting there, it's going to tempt me. And if it's especially it's something I know no one else is going to really miss, I've learned to just chuck it and then it's just completely out of sight.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this morning, Tamara, because I've had a habit lately that I've been kind of wanting to change where every morning I have my Faget yogurt or Faye. It's 5% yogurt. I do Splenda and vanilla and some macadamia nuts. But I got into this weird habit the other day where I started sprinkling sugar-free chocolate chips on top, which is fine. However, I was doing that every single day as opposed to like once in a while for a treat. And those are calories that add up that I didn't necessarily want to have in my life. And here's the thing, I couldn't stop myself. It was like, I looked forward to my breakfast with my chocolate chips and my macadamia nuts. So I realized I needed to make the strategy inconvenient. So I finally ran out. Okay. I had to eat the whole damn bag. Let's just be honest. I'm sorry that I said damn. I know a listener wrote me a big letter about that and I'm going to just apologize to her directly. But here's the thing. I had a run out of those sugar-free chocolate chips and now finally it's inconvenient. Now I can't have them, quote unquote, because I'd have to drive to the store and buy more.
Yeah.
You feel me?
I feel you.
It's going to work because I won't go to the store to buy more because I'm kind of mad that I ate so many for so long.
Yeah. I think just not buying certain trigger foods that you just are hard. Like for me, potato chips are really hard.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
I can pass up cookies. Like the kids can have that in the cupboard. I'm okay. But man, potato chips. So yeah, those I just don't buy. Yeah.
And that's definitely an inconvenient strategy. You'd have to drive to the store to get them if you really wanted them. So good. Yeah. That works.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, it works for clearly both of us.
Yeah.
What about 13?
Yeah. It's safeguarding. So what she means by this is that I think she means is that you plan to fail. So you have to sit and think about what are the challenges that you're going to face. So if you're traveling, think about all the problems you might encounter and the ways that you might mess up on your diet when you're traveling, and then make a plan based on that. And that could be, you know, these could be troubles that you have in your environment, or maybe they're just in your own mind. You know, maybe you have some, I don't know, some mental temptation that you just can't get over. Anticipate it and address it ahead of time. It's amazing how much better prepared you are and how better you handle obstacles when you've put some thought into it.
Well, how I interpret the safeguard strategy, I do this, it's kind of embarrassing again, like me throwing my food in the backseat of the car. But what I do, Tamara, is I know when I go to the movie theater, I know I will fail and struggle when I start smelling the buttered popcorn in the air. So what I do, because I know I'm going to fail and like freak out and like go crazy in my mind, is I bring my eating backpack. So I'm going to tell you about my eating backpack. This is a real thing. Mm-hmm. I have an eating backpack. I swear to you, it is full of most delicious, dirty, lazy keto snacks that you've ever seen. And I bring an excessive amount of food with me because I'm safeguarding, because I know I'm going to crave food when I smell popcorn. And it's hard for me. This is like the biggest trigger food for me on the planet. So I know I shoulda, coulda, woulda, whatever, should face the issue and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to sit in the dark I'm gonna watch my wonderful movie. I'm gonna have a great time, and I'm gonna eat every single thing that I brought in my eating backpack. And for
Nice.
me, that makes me really happy.
Yeah.
And it
And
works for me.
you feel so much better, you know?
I feel a little bit gross, I'm gonna be honest, but at the same time, I feel really happy that I didn't eat popcorn. So for me,
Exactly.
it works.
Yeah. And I
It
call
works.
it, my name is my movie purse. It's my
Oh,
biggest
girl,
purse I own.
you need a movie backpack. That's how crazy my eating
I'm
is.
not at your level.
Mine is an extreme eating movie situation. Now, mind you, I don't go to the movies all the time. I go very
Yeah.
rarely, so it's okay that I do this.
Yeah.
Whatever, don't judge people.
Yeah.
Don't be judging. You know you do crazy stuff too. I'm
Yeah,
the only one that's on the internet saying it all.
you got to get creative in forming new habits,
That's
you
right.
know. And
What's
that
14? I'm gonna move off of it because I'm starting to
yeah.
get rad again. Oh no, I'm telling you all my secrets.
loophole spotting.
Loophole spotting.
I guess it's finding a loophole, like your mind wants to find a loophole or a reason or excuse not to keep your habit.
I
And
love this one. This one makes me laugh
you have
hysterically.
to catch yourself on those loophole. I mean, we talked a lot about these when we talked about excuses on our excuses podcast. I think we did all of them, you know,
Well, everybody has
why?
different excuses, right? So we all have
Yeah.
different loopholes that we use for breaking our own rules.
Yeah.
But do you know what yours are? That's the trick for strategy
Yeah.
14 is identifying your excuses that you tend to use,
Yeah.
not anyone else, just yourself,
Yeah.
and then using that as an opportunity to modify an eating habit.
My big one.
What's yours?
It well,
Be
it used
real
to
now.
be.
Don't hold back,
It
Tamara.
used to be. I'm on my period, so I'm having cravings, and the scale is weighing high. It's just because my period, not because I'm eating more.
Not because of those potato chips.
Yeah, it was me eating, and it is real weight gain, and I was just using that loophole to make an excuse for it.
Don't you feel better getting that off your chest? It's like a therapy episode,
I
people. I
know.
just told the world about my eating backpack.
I know.
It's
And then
freeing.
this feels like, I feel like the girl who's trying to get out of PE, you know?
Right? With your loopholes. Well, my
Yeah.
loophole, I'm going to throw my husband under the bus with me because we share this one together. Our
Okay.
loophole is free food. And so this is what
Oh.
we struggle with. Like, I'm thinking specifically if we go to our favorite all-you-can-eat buffet and we want to get our money's worth. So, in our mind, we eat way too much food. Both of us do it. And they have sugar-free desserts at this particular buffet we go to. I will have like 10 of them because I'm like, I'm going to get my money's worth. Do I
Yeah.
really need 10 desserts that are all low carb and sugar free? No, I don't.
Oh my gosh, I just had this happen. We were at a hotel and it came with the free breakfast.
Oh, there you go. The
And
free
it was
breakfast.
like, yeah. And they didn't have any, they had like a bagel and a regular yogurt. And I was like,
Oh.
you know, but I had
But you're
that.
like, it's free. It's a
I
loophole.
paid all that money. It was part of the hotel
Yeah.
cost. I should eat this. And I was trying to get my daughter to eat it. And she's like, no, I don't want it. And I was like, dang it, dang it, dang
Well, the loopholes look different for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So it's important to just be aware of what your loophole is and then use that as an opportunity to
Yeah.
potentially modify an eating habit.
Yeah. Excellent. And number 15 is one that I suffer from a lot, which
Ooh,
are
what's
just
this one?
distractions. Like I can distract myself, you know, and get sucked into things that'll take me away from my habit, you know, like, oh, I need to reorganize my entire closet instead of, you know, sitting down and making a meal plan or whatever, you know, work that I need to do, whatever it is. I'm really good at distracting myself. Social media is a big one too. So I think this one is more of an awareness of what's distracting you and then just making a point of avoiding those things.
Yeah, I don't use this one at all. So that's why I was like really listening to what you were
Oh,
saying.
yeah.
The distraction method, for me, I think it feels, I don't know, like I'd rather just go ahead and have what it is I'm trying to eat, you know what I mean? Or figure out a low carb way to make that same thing versus like, oh, I don't want it. I'm going to go over here into this other room and you know, knit or something. Like I just don't know how to use this one. So, that's okay.
Yeah, no, this is a totally me. It's kind of how I handle stress in general, is I'll just pretend it's not there by, you know, napping or
Pretend it's not there.
social
Hey, you know what? We all
media.
do different things. Social
Yeah,
media,
yeah,
napping, what have
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Clearly, this is not an opportunity maybe for either of us. I don't know.
I don't know.
We don't like that one. We're moving on.
All right. What about
number 16 is more fun.
Yeah. What is that one?
Number 16 is rewards. And what that would mean, according to Gretchen Rubin in her book, she talks about rewards, meaning to give yourself a reward for steps toward your goal. But she notes that the reward should not lead you away from your goal. And I do talk about this one a lot. I have a whole video on rewards and I'll try to link that at the end because that's an important one.
Yeah, because I've done this in the past before and I find myself doing it. I have to really make a point about too, which is reward myself with food for staying on my food goals. And it's like, and worse, junk food, you know? So I like, I'll have a cheat meal, whatever. And those never end well. They don't. Yeah. And they have a way of taking you off out of your habit. And it's really hard to get back on if you do. So this one, I have to really work on.
Well, rewards can be food related if they were foods that perhaps might motivate you to continue. Like, for example, I've been working on developing a lot of recipes, obviously, for all of the 3 cookbooks and hopefully more in the future. And, you know, I work a lot in the kitchen and I'm starting to notice that a lot of my kitchen staff is really run down. And I was thinking about, we made a video together, Tamara, and my blender had duct tape. I watched that the other day and my blender was held together with duct tape. And I was thinking, that's not good. Like, here I am working so hard to develop new habits and working hard at sharing recipes and I need new kitchen gear. So I've been starting to reward myself by replacing and upgrading like damaged equipment.
That's great.
Like an appropriate way, right? Like that would be a helpful way to keep myself motivated for eating and cooking.
And an investment in what you're doing. So that's
so really look forward awesome. To the blender debut.
Mine started acting up today and I was like, I'm going to get a new one. I'm going to get a fancy one.
We're moving on up in the world.
We are.
We're rewarding ourselves. And it could be, you know, non-food related, like new shoes when you're worn out your old ones for exercising. Yeah. So,
or a manicure.
To think of those ways. Yeah.
Pedicure, something that's self-care-ish.
I love it.
Right.
And this would be different from 17, right? Rewards versus 17, which is?
Treats. Sounds similar. Like it was a little bit hard for me to get the difference, but this is how I understand the difference. But you tell me if you have it differently. Reward is like, I reached some kind of goal and then here's your whatever reward.
Like a prize.
Right. But treat is just not denying yourself along the way, I guess. So to make sure you have treats that give you energy to go in the right direction. So I would think with eating, that would be making sure you have food that give you high energy that may feel like a treat, but that keep you motivated and going because you're living in the pleasure of your diet, not just the negative things, I guess. Is that how you interpret it?
I was interpreting this as more not even food related, but like ways that I keep myself energetic and motivated. Like for me, I spend, as you know, Tamara, I work all weekend, probably 99% of every waking moment on the weekends with Dirty Lazy Keto, because that's when I'm not in my other job. So for me, I get pretty tired and then I get grumpy on Mondays. So I've realized that once a month, I need to get out of town and just see the world, you know, experience different things, eat different foods, get out of my own kitchen, out of my computer. And for me, that's a treat because it motivates me to come back the next weekend and get back to work. So I feel like motivated and rejuvenated by giving myself a random treat like that.
That's also like the foundational one we talked about earlier. You know, you're getting your rest, you're getting your whatever, you know, those core needs you have to take care of. So yeah, that's great. Number 18 is a really fun one. I like
it's
this.
It's totally fun.
Yeah. It's called pairing, where you tack on a habit to one that you already have in place. And so you pair it up with another habit so that they happen together.
I love this one too.
Yeah.
And it's a really good strategy, right? Like when you're trying to make a new eating habit, you can pair that habit with something you're already doing and then they kind of just magically stick together.
Yeah, for like sure.
Do you do this at all?
Well, you know, mine is more exercise. I mean, I know we're talking about eating habits, but for me, it's part of a healthy habit, I guess, a lifestyle, but for me, the one I think of is I only get to listen to my books on tape when I'm exercising. So I'm pairing the exercise I already do with the, I mean, sorry, the, books on tape with the exercising. So they all both go together. And it makes me really enjoy exercising when I pair those two together.
Because you like listening to that audio.
I love it. It's a treat for me.
Mm. Oh, I have an idea already. Right. I'm like, I'm going to be like the happiness bully. Like, isn't that what Gretchen Rubin calls herself?
Yeah.
I wonder what would happen if you also paired your audio that you like to listen to with cooking a healthy dinner.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Or meal prepping or something related to the food. You know, another new habit you might be wanting to do. Like once a week, I'll cook a whatever dinner and I'll also get to listen to that.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Just an idea. Maybe you can help me with one.
Or I can even get an audiobook on health and dieting.
That would be even
fun.
Yeah, flip in the script. Yeah. But pairing is fun. You can kind of see how that works, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think our listeners are probably like coming up with some strategies for themselves too.
Yeah.
I know I had this eating challenge where, and I've shared this in the past, God bless my poor husband. I'm like, he's getting trampled today. But we used to totally argue about grocery shopping, and he would be the one that always went to the store, and he would never necessarily, I shouldn't say never, he would invariably come home with the yogurt, not the right brand, sometimes celery, not the celery. He would just buy what was on sale and what he felt like buying according to our budget that week. And I would get really mad because I really wanted my yogurt and I really wanted my celery. Mm-hmm. So I decided I needed to make a habit change, and I decided to do the pairing strategy where once a week I would go to the store by myself to buy the celery and to buy my yogurt, the one I wanted, no matter how much it was, I was going to buy it. And I paired that with also buying, I know it shouldn't be about money, but for me, it kind of was. I paired that with also buying a tray of either stuffed mushrooms from their deli or an artichoke, which I love. And those are kind of like specialty indulgences for me that I adore and will motivate me to go to the store because I love those. So it worked. Now I go every single week and I buy those, you know, very small handful of items. And it's like this huge treat for myself. I feel really like special and loved getting my fancy celery.
Nice.
That costs $1.19 instead of 89 cents.
But you know, you'll look forward to that.
I really do.
I would.
I'm going to go today.
And you get alone time. For me, that would be the draw. I'm like, oh, I get to be alone.
There's a lot of good things happening when I go to the grocery store. But it used to be a big fight. So it's interesting how that strategy helped me so much.
Yeah, I agree. Well, number 19 is, she calls clarity. And it's being clear on what's expected or what you expect for yourself in this new habit. So I think you mentioned having like 7 or 8 vegetables a day, you know, and that sounds like if you're clear on like what it is that you want, and I'm not saying for those of you who don't like to follow a strict diet, figure it out for yourself, like what, and be clear, because otherwise you lose perspective. Like, oh, I have a lot of vegetables, but you don't really know what a lot is. So what is a lot? What is the expectation? And then you can count them and monitor. Otherwise you will have trouble doing that.
Yeah, I think I struggled in the beginning when I was writing Dirty Lazy Keto, how to explain it to other people. Mm-hmm. And I had to like boil it down to principles. Like, okay, what am I really doing? What am I really believing? And one clarity or one huge aha moment I had when I was writing, when I told people to use fat to make healthy food taste better. And for me, that was like, oh, like the heavens parted. And once I articulated that, I felt like a lot of other people got the aha moment as well. It's like the fat bomb concept and the just eating, you know, cream cheese, you know, dipped in bacon, that whole thing kind of went away for some people, and they had more success when they realized to use fat like oil to saute Brussels sprouts or to put, you know, Alfredo sauce on top of green beans to make it taste better. Use fat to make healthy food taste better was a clarity to me. And I hope for other people to wrap their head around why Dirty Lazy Keto was different compared to other ketogenic diets out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. And thanks for doing that, because now we all can benefit from the clarity in your book.
I'm like, I finally get it. It's like once I articulated what was working for me, you know, because it was hard. I didn't tell any. I just kind of made this up as I went along and had a trial and error what was working, what wasn't. And clearly when I'm eating things that are just all fat for no reason, you know, like there's a lot of different examples. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus what they're doing, but you know what I mean? Like people that, I shouldn't say people, but I will. When you're using like heavy whipped cream and you're mixing it with Jell-O and just making Fat Bomb and just eating, you know, a cup of that, mm-hmm. that's not going to help you lose weight. Like for me, a clarity around that and to articulate that not necessarily being a strategy for weight loss or eating healthy habits, that just really helped me.
Yeah. And I think too, writing helps you clarify what you're thinking. And, you know, so it helped you writing the book. I mean, obviously as a professor, that's why we have our students write all the time, because it takes a fuzzy idea and then really clarify it when you have to put it in writing. So journaling, writing, maybe just writing out what you want per day or something is a way to help. Yeah. Okay. Number 20. I feel like you should explain this one, because I think this one is definitely a strategy for you.
It is. And I know we're just kind of wrapping up our podcast here today, but number 20 is identity. And for me, it's about my identity and who I am as a person. For me, that's the most important strategy. I'm a rebel. I have to do things differently from other people. I take so much pride in my role as a leader in the keto community. Every time, you know, I'm sharing one of my habits, I'm trying to help other people. And so for me, it's the most powerful tool that I have.
Yeah, that's great. I thought of this question differently, like my identity, like my ethnic identity and how food, like, I don't want to leave that out. Like if, you know, like, there's certain Native American dishes that we make. And I always thought, oh, I can't do it because of this keto lifestyle. And I thought, no, I can't, because you don't want to leave that identity behind. Like, just find a way to make it work and still be who you are. Otherwise, you will be unhappy and you won't follow it.
Amen. That leads us to number 21, which is the strategy of other people. Other people. So that would be using the expectations of other people to influence habits, and by the opposite, do things differently from other people.
Right. For me, it's like, oh, I like to meet other people's expectations. That's a people pleaser in me. Whereas you, you're like,
Well, you can both use that to our advantage though, right? One's exactly. not wrong or right. It's just a way of manipulating that to help you with your way to change a habit.
Right. That's why you don't take a class. And you always tell me, Tamara, because I keep inviting you, come to my class. And you're like, nope.
Hate classes. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
But then again, if you sign up for a class, you'll be successful, because you'll show up and do a great job.
Exactly. Well, so I'm curious what our strategies our listeners have successfully used to change an eating habit, because there's a lot more out there. Email us at Stephanie@DirtyLazyKeto.com or through Facebook or Instagram at Dirty Lazy Keto. If your comment is read on the air during season 3, contact Stephanie to receive a prize. Now, before we go to our final hack, let's take a quick break.
Well, listeners, if you're looking for a ways to start new habits or create some new ones in terms of being in the kitchen, and especially for all of the, those of you that don't like to cook, I hear that quite a bit, or have no experience cooking, I think that the Dirty Lazy Keto No Time to Cook can be a great place to start. The recipes are easy to make. They take less than 30 minutes, and that's from top to bottom, including prep time. And they're normal everyday ingredients that you'll find at stores like Walmart. So there's no specialty ingredients. There's no complicated math. All the net carbs have been calculated for you, as well as all of the macronutrients if you're calculating fat, protein, sodium, etc. So it's all right here for you. It's the Dirty Lazy Keto No Time to Cook cookbook.
Thank you, Stephanie. So let's wrap up by sharing our success story about creating a good habit. So which one of these strategies do you use, Stephanie, and have been successful with?
Well, Tamara, you know I am ultra lazy, because I am the dirty lazy keto queen, right? Dirty lazy. So what I do is the strategy of inconvenience. I love that one, because I'm so lazy, I will never do much work to fight back. And one of the things I do is I have a cabinet above my refrigerator, and I'll hide, not hide, but I just repurpose or remove things that I don't want to necessarily get into all the time. And I just put them up there, because I'm so lazy. I'm never going to drag a chair and stand on the chair and open the cabinet and get the basket down. I just won't do it. So if there's something I'm trying to avoid or maybe eat less of, I just put it up there.
Nice. My hack's related to the strategy of distraction. I really want to have a habit of meal prepping, and I know I'll eat better. But I use the loophole excuse by saying, oh, I don't have enough time, but I know I have time. because I'm on Facebook. I have fine time for that. So I try to minimize the distraction because I know once I'm supposed to meal prep, I set aside a time on Sundays, but then I get distracted. So one hack I have for you is to go onto Facebook and you go into your settings and you can just turn it off for a couple hours. I just turn it off. And then when I mindlessly go turn it out, I'm like, oh yeah, back to work, back on focus.
Great strategy. Mm-hmm. Listeners, you don't have to change your personality type. You don't have to pretend to be someone else. You don't have to follow what works for this lady or this guy over here. You just have to figure out what works best for you. So we hope that by sharing these 21 strategies over a 2-day workshop of our podcast, that you'll walk away refreshed and motivated to try some new ways to change your eating habits for the better.
And are you enjoying the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast? Show your support by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on YouTube, give the episode a thumbs up, leave a comment, and subscribe to the Dirty Lazy Keto channel.
Awesome. And we love to hear your listener comments and reviews. And I have one that was left on YouTube. And this is the author, A Blessed Life. And she wrote, "Thank you, ladies. I look for your products using allulose, thanks to your new keto sweetener allulose recipe podcast." And she said she's so excited to give it a try and that she says, "Y'all are awesome and love your ideas." So thank you, A Blessed Life.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know how your allulose recipes go.
We can't wait to know.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please tell a friend. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts.
For more information about what we talked about today, or just to get in touch, visit DirtyLazyKeto.com. See you next week.